Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We're going to start at, what did you say, three lines from the bottom. Okay, but before we do that, I just want to go back a little bit. We started yesterday with Rav Achtavu, who says in the name of Rav, that if you're Makadish Beperish of Ashur Niskal, you use the excrement of Ashur Niskal to betroth the woman. Again, the reality of this is quite troublesome. I always remember, I taught many, many years ago this sugya in Kiddushin about a woman who I was substituting for someone with a group of older women. At the time, I hadn't taught women. I was mostly teaching high school kids. And I taught this sugya about it. You betroth the woman with a date, and she immediately eats it. So is that considered a kiddushin? And one of the women there said, you know, it must be a, describing the socioeconomic, you know, where the woman is so starved that she eats it immediately. And, you know, she was looking at it from a perspective that, you know, my high school kids and I had certainly not ever looked at it that way. And I was trying to think what she would say about this. So, which is always a question. Are they really discussing reality or are they really just getting theoretical? I assume this is not a real question.
I think the sedum was actually a commodity because it was a fertilizer.
Also
good for starting fires if you dry it.
Right. It just seems a little odd that they were betrothing women with it, but maybe. Okay. So.
No, you raise a good question, the Shabbat Pruta.
If it's a commodity, then it's Shabbat.
Right. Well, if it's, it would have to be a Shabbat Pruta. That's
which
where also the concept came up about the tamar.
There is,
right. It would have to. It would have a value, but it's still not necessarily the thing you would use to betroth the woman. Okay. So anyway, if it's a Shor Niskal, it's Mekudesh. You could look at the chart on the sheet today, which charts it out. So if it's Mekadesh, if it's Shor Niskal, which is supposed to be killed, then you could still be makat, you can use to betroth the woman with it. If it's a glei avodah kochavim, if it comes from an egel of avodah kochavim, she's ena mekudeshet. And we said two reasons. One was logic, because of the parish of the Shor Niskal. In the Shor Niskal, there's no gain to be gained from having the excrement when it's inside the animal, and therefore it's not really considered part of the, therefore it's not considered part of the animal, and therefore when it comes out of the animal, it's mutar because it's an independent entity. Whereas if it's inside the avodah kochavim, it actually makes the animal look fatter, it makes it look better, and therefore it was part of the worship, and therefore it's asur b'hana'ah. The pasuk was a little simpler, lo yidbak b'yadcha me'uma, you can't have anything to do with the avodah olalim, or the avodah zara, whereas the shor niskal, it just says lo yechel b'sarob, b'sarob, not the excrement. Now Rav is going to say we can actually prove this from our Mishnah. Again, before we look inside, I want to go back and review the Mishnah, which is the second chart on the page, so that we remember what the Mishnah talked about. The Mishnah had started with saying the Gvina of the Onaiki, if you remember. This is the Mishnah on Kaf Tet Amud Bet. You can turn back or you can just look at the chart. I'm turning back because the Onaiki I didn't bring in. The Onaiki we saw from this place of Onaiki, it's Asur V'Surani Sorana'a, according to Rabbi Meir. And Chachamim say it's just Asur V'Achila Napahana'a. And then we're going to learn about regular Gvinot that are just forbidden to eat. And why are regular cheeses of Avodah Kochavim forbidden for eating? So Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shmuel had a discussion about it. Rabbi Yoshua said, okay, again, you can follow on the chart, and the arrows kind of help the order. So Rabbi Yoshua at first said the reason is because ma'amidin otam bekevash al nevela. They use the innards of a nevela, right? This is how you make cheese, the rennet that's found, the enzyme in the stomach of, actually Googled it last night to watch how they actually process cheese. It's interesting, you can see, it'll help you for the sugya. So they take the stomach and they salt it, and then the enzyme comes, and they soak it in water, I think, and then the enzyme comes out of it, and they use that. So it comes directly from the insides of the stomach of a nevela, okay? So here we're saying it was an animal that wasn't shechted properly. So Rabbi Yishmael says, how can you say that? Because a kevad of ola is chamura from a kevav nevela. Okay, right? That's the number one assumption. If you take an ola is hektesh, and the innards of the ola is more chamur, you would assume, because it's kodesh, from the kevav of a nevela. Also, hektesh is asur bahana'a, nevela is not asur bahana'a. And yet, what do we say? If a kohen isn't disgusted by this, da'ato yafa, shorfa chaya, he can suck out the chelev that's found in the keva of this korban olah. So what do you see? That you can get hana'ah from, it's considered like the parish, that's how we're going to get here, it's considered like an independent entity. And loho dulo, they didn't agree with him, but they did say, eina hanin lo mo'alim, which means you can't get hana'ah from it, but it's not There's no chiyuv me'ila, which means that it's only asher midrabanan, and from the Torah viewed it as a separate, independent entity. So then, Rabbi Yeshua answers back. He says, well, fine. It's not the cave of Nevela, you're right. But it's because they sometimes use a keva of an animal that was used for idol worship. That must be the issue. And we're more, you can say that that's more chamor than in Ola. And then Rabbi Yishmael answers, well, if that's the case, and that makes it not kosher for eating purposes, lama lo asura bahana'a. It doesn't make any sense, though. Why wouldn't it be forbidden bahana'a if we're talking about avodah zarah? So it should be forbidden bahana'a. And to that, if you remember, Rabbi Yishmael doesn't answer, and he avoids the question, and he starts talking about that pasuk about tovim dodecha miyayin. Okay. So now we're going to go through and show, Rava's going to show, Amar Rava Travayu Tanani. Both these things are found in the Mishnah. Okay, both the things about the parash of the Shor Niskal versus the parash of the Eglei Avodah Kochavim, that when it's Shor Niskal, you can get Hana'a from it, and when it's Eglei Avodah Kochavim, you're not allowed to. Both of these things can be found in the Mishnah. How so? Midika Amarle, since Rabbi Yeshua said, "Mipnei shamamidim b'kevat nevela," and then what did Rabbi Yishmael answer him back? "V'kamahadrele v'halo kevat olah chamura mikevat nevela." Michlal, from here one can infer, "Di isurei hana'a sharu pirshayhu." From here you can infer what? That if it's a sur b'hana'a, I'm sorry. That what were we saying? Kevat olah chamura mikevat nevela. And yet, what did we learn? You can get hana'a from the insides of it. So what do you see? That pirshayhu, which would be looked at just like the keva itself, like sucking out the chelev, is mutar. Umidika amarle mipnei shamamidim notah b'kevat eglad ovdei kochavim. And then what does Rabbi Yishmael respond to him? V'kamahadro le'imkein lama lo asrua b'hana'a. What do you learn here? Ah, if they made the cheese from the innards of the stuff that was used for idol worship, and comes Rabbi Yishmael and says, well, then it should be Asur Bahana. What do you learn here? That the parash of the Ovdei Kochavim, right, things that were worshipped for Ovdei Avodah Zarah, would be Asur Pirshayhu. Okay? So you see from Rabbi Yishmael anyway, remember, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't answer him, but you see from Rabbi Yishmael that when he's talking about, when he suggests there's a Keva of Nevela, he thinks it should be Mutar, and therefore we can assume it's mutar bahana'a. And when he talks about avodah kochavim, he says, oh, well, then it must be asur bahana'a. Why isn't it asur bahana'a? So there you see that, according to Rabbi Yishmael anyway, one can't get hana'a from the parish. Again, assuming the keva and the parish are on equal footing, because they're both things that are not exactly part of the animal, but something that comes out of the animal. Therefore, we can assume that he would distinguish also between, so we can learn that distinction that Rav Achdavoy said in the name of Rav, we can learn it exactly from our Mishnah. Now that we mentioned our Mishnah, we're going to now suggest, what could Rabbi Yeshua very simply answer? Rabbi Yeshua could have had an answer the Gemara is going to say. V'lehadarle mishum deleite le'isura be'ene. Why didn't he just say, look, the isur is not be'em. When you take the innards and you use it to make the cheese, right? The cheese doesn't have, you wouldn't look at cheese and think of meat, right? You wouldn't think of an animal. I mean, some people think of animals, right? That's why they don't eat it. But, you know, you wouldn't think right away of, after watching that video, I said, I could see why people would be vegan. So you might not want to watch it. But anyway, what does he say? Since leita l'isura be'ene, and how do we know that if the isur isn't actually there, right, the animal, deha morayis l'rabanan delo asura bahana'a. If you remember, there was this morayis, the fish stew. Okay, the fish stew, why didn't the rabbis, remember there was a machloket, Rabbi Meir, and the rabbis, Rabbi Meir says, "Any surani surana, you can't eat it, and it's asur hana'a." Like there were a bunch of things they argued about, and Chachamim said it's not asur bahana'a. Why didn't they asur bahana'a? So the reason is, and as remember, what was the issue with the marayas? They would often put wine in the fish stew, and the wine is right is at least a safek yenesach. So what does he say? It must be because, right now, everything that were choshesh yai nesech would be forbidden, even b'hana'ah. So why does he say Morayis isn't asur b'hana'ah? It must be because, my time, lav mishum, is it not because, deleta li'isura b'ene. What does it mean, leta li'isura b'ene? The wine is not actually noticeable. Now, what do you mean the wine's not noticeable? Why did they put wine in the fish stew? Just to take out the bad smell of the fish stew. It wasn't because they wanted the wine in there for the taste. It was for taking out the bad smell. So it's as if it's not really there. Just like, what do we need the enzymes from the stomach from? Just to make the cheese, but not, doesn't give flavor. It's not part of the food itself. So therefore, we would say, right, therefore, what he could have answered, the reason why it's not forbidden b'hana'ah, when he said, well, then, if that's the case, it should be forbidden b'hana'ah. It's not forbidden b'hana'ah because it's not actually there. It's not there because we want it for the taste. So now they say, right, taste is a very critical issue in kashrut in general, right? No tain tam. If something's there but it doesn't give any flavor, then we're usually not concerned with it.
Does it smell like and taste like a goat?
Does it really? You think it smells like a goat? To you. Okay. Could be, I don't know. But it doesn't appear like meat or anything, that's for sure. Okay? So now, what do they say? Amre hacha kevan de ukma kamokim chashiv lekeman de iteli sur beine. There's a difference between putting wine in this fish stew, which is just going to take out the bad smell, versus using this enzyme, which actually creates the cheese. It's such a significant part of the process of making. You can't make cheese without it. And therefore, he couldn't have answered that question because the keva and the enzyme that comes from it is so critical in the processing that you can't just say, oh, it's as if it's not there. Okay, that's the response. Now we're going to find out why he distracted the conversation. Okay, he see only davar acher. He immediately changed the conversation. So first we want to understand this drasha that he brought. Remember, it was, my kitovim dodecha miyayin. What does it mean, kitovim dodecha miyayin? If you remember, he said it's zachar, not nekevan. It's about the Bnei Israel talking to God rather than God talking to Bnei Israel in the allegory. Or in the actual pshat, it's, right, the man talking to the woman and not the woman. I'm sorry, it's the woman talking to the man and not the man talking to the woman. Ki ata ravdimi amar. Amra knesi Israel lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam. Arivim alai divrei dodecha yoter miyena shel Torah. Okay, this is the analogy. The dodecha, the breasts, are the divrei chachamim, which are more precious than yena shel Torah, right? Which is basically saying that Torah shebal peh, and then we've talked about this a lot in the last while, about the issues that were going on in the time, and that they were trying to stress that the divrei chachamim is more important than the words of God himself. Or herself, or itself. Maishna haikra deshaile. Why did he choose this pasuk of all pasukim? He could have found this analogy somewhere else, probably. So, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pasi, v'itema Rav Shimon bar Ami, mireisha dikra. The reason he did it was mireisha dikra. From the beginning, what was he trying to do? He was trying to hint to, right, when Rabbi Yeshua answered Rabbi Yishmael, he was trying to hint to him. So he took a pasuk, okay, that really, the whole pasuk is, you know, it's really, he was referring to the beginning of the pasuk. Yishikenu minishikot piu. Okay, yishakenu minishikot piu ki tovim dodecha miyayin. So Amalei, what was he trying to say to him? Yishmael achi chashok siftotecha zo bazo va'alte vahel la'ashiv. Okay, yishikeni means kiss, right? I don't remember how the grammar works. Yishakeni.
May he
kiss you, minishikopi you, from the kisses of his mouth. But kiss, when you kiss, what do? You close your mouth. So what's he saying? Shut your mouth and don't talk anymore. Okay? Don't bring up this issue. We'll see why in a minute, okay? And then stop asking me questions about this gzera. My time, Amar Ula. When you make a new gzera, it was obviously a new gzera they had just instituted, don't ask questions about it, okay? You shouldn't talk about the reasons for new gzeirot. What's the concern? That people are not going to take it seriously. Right? When you institute something new, everybody always... When something's already established, people don't ask so much about it. But when you institute something new, they start questioning and saying, oh, we don't really want to do this, especially... And all of a sudden, they say, well, guess what? You can't eat something you always were able to eat before. It's difficult for people. So it's a gzeirah hadashah, and therefore don't ask questions about it. So now the question is, my gzeirata, why did they make this gzeirah? So why are they asking this question? We already saw why they made the gzeirah, right? And remember, in the Mishnah, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Mipnei shema midino tabekevat eglei avodah kochavim. Okay? But we're going to see that there's a range of opinions about what the reason is. And it's not clear that that's the only possibility. Okay? It wasn't so clear, which is interesting, because even though it was a new gzeirah, it's still not so clear why it was instituted. So now we're going to have a number of different opinions, actually by Amoraim, about why this was instituted. Amar Shum ben Pazi, Amar Rishu ben Levi, Mishum Nikur. Okay, this goes back to the poison of the snake. They were worried that maybe the snake had put the poison, right, and it starts with milk, and then they're worried that they're going to put the snake is going to put the poison into the milk, then the milk gets put into mixes with the enzyme and turns into cheese. So we're worried that maybe, since the Ovdei Kochavim were not careful about that, that the snake got into it. So then they say, and Nikur, right, we're worried that there's going to be some sort of an indentation from it, from the snake getting in. V'lema le mishum Nikur kide'ula, da'amar ula, one second, mishum Nikur, v'lema le mishum Nikur, what?
Period.
Right, so why didn't why did Rabbi Yeshua say, right? This is the problem. In other words, again, if Rabbi Yeshua is giving the reason, why are the Amoraim giving other reasons, right? If this was the reason, then why didn't Rabbi Yeshua say Mishum Nikur? So they say Kide'ula. The reason why he didn't want to give the reason was like Ula. Da'amar Ula, ki gazri gzeirata b'marava, lo magalu taima ad shresa yarche shata. Okay? They don't give the reason for 12 months. Now, this sounds like he gave a different answer when this was really the answer. In other words, he said, Eglei Avodah Kochavim, but really that wasn't really the reason. Okay? In other words, he says, well, then it should be Aser Bahana, which is true. So then he should have said, well, actually it's because of Nikur. But then they said, no, he didn't say that because they don't tell the reason until 12 months.
Wait, but then it wouldn't, why would it be Aser Bahana if this is the reason? Because
no, it's not Aser Bahana. That was the whole thing. Okay, let's go back. The Mishnah said the cheeses of Ovdei Kochavim were only Aser Bachila, not Bahana'ah. So when he said the reason is Eglei Avodah Kochavim, Rabbi Shmuel says, well, if that's the case, well, then it should be Aser Bahana, which means that's not a good reason. Remember, he gave the Nevela reason, because they use a Kevav Nevela, and he said, that's not a good reason, because that should be Mutar. And then he gave the reason, well, then it's Eglei Avodah Kochavim, that's not a good reason. It sounds like, according to their reading, he was just making up answers, because he didn't really want to give the true answer. Okay? Now, it's a little strange. He did give some answer. Right. It is a little strange why he gave some answer. It's complicated. It's clear that they're struggling with this, and they're giving answers. But like I always say, that questions are better than the answers. So then, they said, well, if it's Kevar Ovdei Kochavim, well, then it should be Aser Bahana, Rabbi Yishmael says. And then he just shuts his mouth and changes the conversation. So the reason is, according to Rabbi Yishmael ben Levi, because really it's Mishum this Eres, but he didn't want to say so because he didn't want to give the reason away. Okay. So then they say, and what's the reason? Lo magalu tama treisa yarcheshata for a whole year, which shows it was really new, according to this. Dilma ike inish delo sfirale. Maybe someone won't agree with the reason for the gzera. Va'atu lizulzule barba. This is quite common. People say, oh, that's not a good reason. I'm not worried about that, and they'll just do their own thing.
Second, what's new about a 12-month year?
No,
the gzera was new, and they couldn't reveal the reason for the first 12 months of the gzera.
Okay.
Which is strange, right? Again, if you assume he didn't really know, it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua knew the reason quite well and just didn't want to say so. Now we're getting to the Amoraim, who had no idea what the reason was because Rabbi Yeshua didn't reveal the reason. And now that he didn't reveal the reason, now we're stuck trying to figure out, well, what was the actual reason? Okay? And it could be the reasons he gave were reasons that, and as if you say, well, why did he give reasons at all? Maybe he was trying to make it sound worse than it was and thinking if he says it like that, no one will complain about it, even though that wasn't really the reason. But like you see, it didn't really work because then Rabbi Shmuel questioned him and there's a stop asking questions, you know, leave it. I don't want to discuss this. So, Megadev bar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that's not a good reason to say it's because of the eres, the venom of the snake, because elame'ata, if you're going to say that, well then, yavsha tishtare, and yashan tishtare. Then if it's dry, it should be good. And if it's old, it should be good. Why? Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, yavesh mutar, emini choli yavesh. Yashan mutar, emini choli shan. Le'yashan. As what did they say? Rabbi Chanina says that if it dries out, it wouldn't be able to harden basically if it had the venom in it. The venom prevents the process from, it would prevent the cheese from hardening. And the venom would also prevent it from aging. I assume they're talking about aged cheese. So it would prevent it from aging. So therefore, if you're going to say that, you're going to say, well, cheese of Ovdei Kochavim is problematic as long as it's not yashan or it's not... dried. Okay, dried or aged. So if that's the case, then the gzeira doesn't make sense that it wouldn't, right, that it, because the gzeira applied across the board. So that's not a good answer. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina now answers him. He's the one who said, Yavesh mutar and Yashan is mutar. He says, Lefisha Iyafshar belot sechtsuche chalav. This is classic right there. We're not sure. What's the whole issue? Chalav. Okay, now let's get back to why cheese is not problematic and milk would be. The assumption is that the only cheese you can make is cheese all comes from kosher animals. Milk can come from non-kosher animals. You can have pig's milk, but pig's milk can't become cheese. Okay, it doesn't become cheese. There's no such thing. And that's why cheese, in theory, should be allowed from non-Jews. That's this whole issue here. I forgot to kind of mention that in the beginning, which is very critical, which is according to what they're saying, I didn't check this out if it's totally true, but I assume it is, that cheese can only be made from kosher animals, and therefore, the cheese you can assume is from a kosher animal. But now they say, but if you take milk and you turn it into cheese, it's very possible there were other milks mixed in. Okay, in other words, they're not careful about in terms of keeping all the milk separate. If we make kosher cheese, so we'd be very careful from the beginning, there would be no milk mixed in. But non-Jews, you can't trust that. So it could be there's a little bit of milk mixed in, and therefore it would be a problem. Ushmuel amar, mipnei shemamidin ota be'or kevat nevela. What does he say? Until now we had the kevat nevela, the innards of the stomach, which we said is the stomach itself is considered like a separate part of the animal. But the skin of the stomach is already part of the animal. So now they're saying they use the skin of the kevat nevela, and that is considered part of the animal, and that makes it problematic. So then they say, according to Shmuel, then what does it sound like? Keva gufa would be sharia, right? Ha keva gufa sharia. If it's just the stomach itself and not using the skin of the stomach, then it sounds like it would be okay. Umi amar Shmuel hachi, does Shmuel really say this? We're now asking a question on Shmuel. V'hatnan, isn't there a Mishnah that says, Kevat ove kochavim v'shal nevela harezo asura. Okay, the stomach of the ove kochavim and of nevela is forbidden. V'hevinam ban, they asked on this Mishnah, Atu de ove kochavim lav nevela. This sounds like a strange Mishnah. Why would you say ove kochavim en nevela? Isn't the kevav ove kochavim by nature nevela? Because no ove kochavim do kosher shchita. Okay, so Amar Shmuel chadakatane. Shmuel viewed this as one thing, and he said kevat shchitat ove kochavim nevela asura. Okay, the kevav of an ove kochavim, which is nevela, is forbidden. So what do you see here? He clearly says that the keva of a nevela is aser, and here it sounds like he said only the or of the keva of the nevela would be forbidden, but not the keva itself. So the answer, lo kashya, kan kodem chazara, kan la'achar chazara. Okay, this Mishnah, he was just explaining that Mishnah, but that Mishnah actually was said before our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, what did our Mishnah say? Remember, what did Rabbi Yeshua first suggest? That it was done in the kevav and nevela. And he thought that was a problem. Came Rabbi Yishmael and said, what are you talking about? Right? If the keva of Ola is mutar, then obviously the keva of Nevela is mutar. And then Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind. So they're saying that this other Mishnah, which I think is a Mishnah in Chulin, let me just double check that. Yeah, it's a Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin was stated, according to Rabbi Yeshua, before our interaction in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yishmael knocks out Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua changes his mind. So don't use that as a contradiction. Shmuel was just explaining the Mishnah. U'mishnah lo zazamim koma. In other words, once the Mishnah is there, we saw this not so long ago, once there's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, it's like this, and then whoever said that Mishnah changes his mind, we leave the Mishnah as is. We don't change the Mishnah, even though it's no longer relevant. We leave it there. So Shmuel was just explaining a Mishnah that we no longer hold by. Okay? And therefore, there's no contradiction. So we now, so far, have three reasons. Rav Shimon ben Pazi in the name of Rav Shimon ben Levi says Mishum Nikor. The second reason is Rabbi Chanina, who says you can follow in the chart also. Because Ef Shar Belot Tzif Tzuche Chalav, there must be some milk mixed in. Shmuel says because it was done in, or it's possible it was done using the skin of the keva, which would be more problematic. You know, which would be problematic as opposed to the keva itself, which wouldn't be. Rav Malkiah, we're now going to have three more answers. Rav Malkiah Mishmeidu Rav Adabar Ava Amar Mipnei Shemachlikim Paneh B'Shuman Chazir. Okay, it's not made from pig's milk, but they kind of glaze it over with fat of a pig. Okay, they put lard in it. Rav Chista Amar Mipnei, right after it's already done. Rav Chista Amar Mipnei Shemamidino To B'Chometz. Okay, they use. Okay, now here we're going to learn that there were other ways they made cheese. They processed it, right, ma'amidim is how they, the process of making the cheese. They made it with vinegar. And vinegar, we know, is aser because it was originally wine and their wine might have been offered up as yei nesach. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar mipnei shema'amidino tabisraf ha'orla. Now, by the way, this isn't because they definitely do it. Again, it's always a question. We have no idea how they processed it, but since you can process the cheese using vinegar, and you can process the cheese, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, using the sap from an orla, from a tree, which could potentially be an orla tree. The first 3 years the trees are forbidden. This would obviously only apply in Eretz Yisrael. But again, you'd have to say, well, they made the gzera across the board because, you know, it's hard to distinguish cheese made in Israel, cheese made in Chutz La'aretz, even though it actually is reasonably easy to distinguish in those days. Maybe nowadays it's imports and exports and, you know, it's hard to tell. But in those days, it's unlikely they were shipping cheese out of the country. But, you know, it's a good question on his shita. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask another question on the last two opinions about the Chometz and the Strafa Orla, where they're going to basically reject those two opinions anyway.
No, because if people were traveling for business, mm-hmm. cheese is a very good thing to take with you. You know, it holds. You can uh-huh. take cheese for months. So maybe they really were taking cheese mm-hmm. with
them. Okay,
and
could
labeling
be.
Was probably less good than it is now.
Right, labeling was certainly not relevant. Right, okay, so it's possible. So now he says, what's the issue? You could have used the sap from an orla tree to process the cheese, and then the orla would be forbidden. Now, the problem is going to be, which we're going to see, both the last opinions, I'll already say it because I want to explain about orla. Orla not only is forbidden by achila, it's also forbidden by hana'ah. And likewise, the chometz, if it's chashash yei nesech, well, yei nesech, right, we're going to, stam yeinam is also asar bahana, which means that those two would also create, if you use those two opinions, we're going to have the same problem, which is then why is it only forbidden b'achila, not bahana'ah? We'll get to that in the Gemara soon. With the straf orla, they're going to go off on a bit of a tangent here, not a tangent, but a question on this shita. If you're going to say it's b'straf ha'orla, there's actually a machloka tana'im about straf orla. Kiman, so they're going to say, are you saying that this shita that Rav Nachman says is only ki hai tana, it's only like one of the tana'im in this machloket? Titnan, I know it says titanya, but it's a mistake. It should say titnan, which means we learn in a Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer omer hamami bistrafa orla asur. Mishum mipnei shehu pere. But Rabbi Yeshua actually disagrees with him. There's a machloket about if you're ma'amid, if you use this strafa orla, again, you're not using the orla, the tree itself, right, the pre itself, you're using it just for the purposes of processing the cheese. So you're not, normally, what do you say, orla means you can't use the fruits to eat them. We're not talking about the sap that's coming out of them. So there's a machloket tana'im about whether if your mami bistrafa or less it aser mishum shuperi. So basically, according to this, we'd be saying the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak who says your mami did bistrafa orla and therefore it was forbidden is only holding like Rav Eliezer who says it's aser to use the strafa orla because he views it as of the fruit. That's what's a fruit. He says it's something that comes out of the tree. Even sap is viewed as a fruit. A fruit is, you know, fruit could mean, right, we bear fruits, right? Bear fruits is anything that comes out of it. So they say, no, afilu tema Rabbi Yeshua. You could even explain, again, they didn't bring Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says it's mutar because he doesn't view it as peyre. You could even say that the one who asers here would forbid it, even according to Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's forbidden. Because ad kan lo palig Rabbi Yeshua led Rabbi Lezer ela bikatva de goza. Modu. There's two different kinds of saps from a tree. One comes out of the trunk itself, right? That's the sap we usually think of. But sometimes you can use sap that comes out of the fruit itself. So if it comes from the tree, well, then they have a machloket because Rabbi Yeshua doesn't view that as the peirot of the tree. But if you have the sap that comes from the fruit itself, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree. So you could say that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who said their mamidim b'srafa orla, would be holding, that he was talking about the ones who make the cheese from the sap of the fruit itself. And then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree with him. V'hainu ditnan, and we even have this explicit in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, shamati b'peru shamami b'srafa alinu b'srafa ikarin mutar. Okay, I heard explicitly said, Rabbi Yeshua says, that if you're ma'amid with the straf from the leaves or from the trunk, it's mutar. That's not considered using the fruits of the orla tree. But bistraf ha-pagin, but if you use the unripe fruits, then the sap that comes from there, it's asur, mipneshu peri. Okay, so there he says it explicitly. If it comes from the fruit itself, it would be problematic. So you could say simply that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is, you know, also fits in with Rabbi Yeshua and not just Rabbi Eliezer. Now we get to our question, which I already said, which is Bein l'Rav Chista, Bein l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Titzer b'hana. Both these things should be forbidden b'hana because both Orla and Stam Yenam is Aser b'hana. Kashya, in fact, that's a question on these last two shitot. So we now have six answers given. I'll just review them quickly. One is because of the snake, or where the snake got his poison, his venom in there. Number two, there must be a bit of, it's possible there's a bit of chalav mixed in from a non-kosher animal. Number three, they use the ore, the skin of the kevat nevela they could have used to make the rennet, and then process the cheese. Number four, they might smear it with fat from a pig. Number five, they might make it out of vinegar. And number six, they might make it out of the strafa orla. Okay? Darash Rav Nachman Bered Rav Chista. Now we're back to, okay, we're done with the sugya. We're back to the psukim that they brought. So since they brought the psukim, they're now bringing the psukim right near it. Right, this is the pasuk. One second. Right, this is the pasuk that comes right after the pasuk that we saw about Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. Darash Rav Nachman Bered Rav Chista. Mai dechtiv l'rech shmanecha tovim. Lema tami chacham dome, to what is a tami chacham like? Litzlochit shal plaitin. Okay, it's like a plate of balsam oil. We've seen the Shemen of Har Simon. It's mentioned a lot. It was treated as something very special. Migule, if it's uncovered, rechano deif, the smell comes out of it. Mechuse em rechano deif, if you cover it up, right, you keep it in a bottle, nobody smells anything. So that's like a tamid chacham, which means, right, below it, ela dvarim shemichusim imenu. Oh, let's stop for a minute. So what it means here is that a tamid chacham who's quiet and keeps it in himself and doesn't teach and doesn't spread his Torah is like the balsam oil that's stuck in a bottle and it doesn't get out, okay? But once the tamid chacham gets out there and teaches and you know, does good with others, that's then recha no def. Or in this case, recho no def. Velod elad varim shemichusim imenu mitgalim lo. And once he does this, this is very good, right? Classic. When you learn in between yourself, so, you know, sometimes you don't understand everything. But if you get out there, teach and spread your Torah, things that were unclear to you, mitgalim lo, become revealed, okay, by teaching them. Shenemar, alamot ahivucha, karebe alumot. Okay, they read it as alumot, right, which is right, like from ne'elam. Okay, things that were hidden. Ne'elam, they were, you know, not visible. So then alumot, they will be revealed. Ve'lod ela shemalach hamavet ohavo. And he becomes beloved by the malach hamavet, which is another way of saying you'll have a long life. Shene'emar alemot ahavucha karebe al mavet. Okay, in other words, you're like a beyond mavet, I guess is the way they view it. Ve'lod ela shenochel shnei olamot, and you get nachala in both worlds, echad olam hazeh v'echad olam haba, right? Because al shenemar alamot karebe olamot. Okay, view it as olamot. So they now have three just showed on that word alamot, right, which really meant women. Remember, that was how we got to the conclusion that it was Bnei Israel talking to God, or the woman talking to the man, because alemot ahavucha, right, that you're beloved by women, right, young women. So now we understand this word as having other meanings. Okay. Now we're going to get to what you've probably been waiting for since we started Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's like the one sugya that everybody knows is here, which is Bishul Akum, Pat Akum, okay, all these other things that the rabbis forbade of Avodah Avodah Zarah. Ve'elu dvarim shel Avodah Kochavim Asurim ve'ein Isuran Isur Hana'ah. These following things are forbidden. Again, they're forbidden for eating, but they're not Isur Hana'ah like the cheese, right? Chelev shechavo ove kochavim ve'ein Yisrael ro'eu. Okay, now we get to Chalav Yisrael, okay? Which, by the way, is the same kind of concept of Gvinat Yisrael, right? In other words, it's the same, right? The cheese also. You're allowed to eat cheese of non-Jews. So according to this, right, the chelev, the chalav, chalav shechavo ove kochavim, the milk that they milked, and a Yisrael wasn't watching, okay? It wasn't. Israel didn't watch it, which again is the concern that maybe there's some other milk mixed in here. Right, nowadays we have pasteurized milk and we have laws about it, and it's different because of that. Okay, v'hapat v'hashemen shelahen. Okay, also their breads and also their oils, any oils they make. Now this is strange. I don't know if you know this, but you can buy olive oil anywhere in the world. Okay, olive oil, pure virgin olive oil is kosher, so how could that be? It says here their shemen is forbidden. But what do we know? Rebbe Ubeitino Hitiru HaShemen. Okay, first they forbade the shemen, and then Rebbe and his court said, you know what? We're going to repeal this gzera. Okay, we're not going to keep the gzera on the shemen. If you look at Rashi, it's very interesting. Rashi says here, Rebbe Ubeitino Hitiru HaShemen, Lo garsinan, we don't have this girsa. Dehalav iu sharia, it wasn't him who matired it. Ela Rabbi Yehuda Nasir bar Berei sharia, kedamar b'gemara b'samuch. The Gemara is going to later say it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and this doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Okay, it's not that it's not true. It is true, but it wasn't him. It was his grandson. Okay, right. We always say they call him Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya to distinguish him from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but clearly there were people who got confused here and there about who did what because they were both had the same name. We're going to see all these things in more detail in the Gemara, so I'm not going to get into everything now. Hashlakot, things that are cooked. Okay, that's Bishul Akum. Okay, it's cooked vegetables. Ukvashim, and pickled stuff. Shedarkan latet l'tocho yayim b'chometz. Okay, that generally they would use wine or vinegar to pickle them. Vitarit trufa. Okay, this is small fish, little fish, that are chopped up. Okay, the assumption is since they're chopped up, we can't actually see them to know whether they have signs of kosher fish, and therefore we can't tell. If it's not chopped up, then we can tell, and we can actually eat this fish. But since it's chopped up, we're worried, again, what? That there might be other types of fish mixed in with it. V'tzir she'em ba'daga kilbit shotetet bo. She'em ba'daga kilbit shotetet bo. This is a fish stew that doesn't have this kilbit in it. Okay, Rashi explains also that this kilbit is, the kilbit is ligadel me'eleha b'tzir shel dagim tahorim. In other words, this was just something that was known that if it's tahor, then the kilbit grows in it, whatever exactly it is. And if it's tameh, the kilbit won't be in it. So therefore, if you don't see the kilbit in it, then you can assume that maybe it's from dagim tameh. The hachilach, we saw this yesterday. This is, they would catch, it, this is a fish, I think I didn't explain this yesterday. It's a fish that doesn't have scales and fins, which is the sign of a kosher animal, but it grows it later on. So at this point, it's not identified as a kosher fish, but it will be later on. And when they would catch it with other small fish with it that look very similar to it. But those won't necessarily grow fins and scales, and therefore you can't eat the chilek because it might be mixed in. There we saw if it was an uman, then you could because you don't have to be worried. But the chilek of a regular non-Jew you can't eat because you're worried that other fish are mixed in. The court shall chiltit. Okay, this is right. This they would cut this type of fruit with a knife, and they were concerned that there was that they would use a knife that had fat from the meat on it. Okay, so. A piece of chiltit, and melach shal kodnit. Okay, this is, we're going to explain in the Gemara. Rashi even says, we're not going to explain it now, we'll get to this later. Hare elu asurin, now they remind you, in case you didn't remember from the beginning of the Mishnah, ve'eni surani surana. Okay, and they're not forbidden bahana. Okay, chalav, now we're going to start with chalav. Milk. Lamai nechushle, what are we worried about when it comes to milk? Imishu mechlifu tahor, if we're worried that it's, they switch tahor with tamei milk, Chiver tameh, I'm sorry, ichlefe tahor, imishum ichlefe, if we're worried that maybe they mixed up tameh with tahor, tahor chiver tameh yarok. Okay, it's not actually green milk. Green usually means yellow. Okay? There's a different color between the tameh animals and the tahor animals. And therefore, it's identifiable. Imishum yaruve, if you think maybe it's mixed in together, well then, nekum. Damamar, chalav tahor omed, chalav tamei no omed. We can try to process it into cheese to know. And if you see it processes into cheese, then you know it's tahor. And if it doesn't process into cheese, then you know it's tamei. So they say, well, eat a kabai legvina hachanami. You're right. If you're planning to make cheese, so do that. And then you'll know for sure. But hacha b'mayaskina, the Mishnah's not talking about when you want the milk for the purposes of making cheese out of it. You want the milk to kabaile lechamcha, okay? You might think it's you want it for your cereal in the morning. No, that's not what they ate. You wanted it for the kutach habavli, if you remember. It had the milk mixed in with it. One of the things in this kutach habavli unpleasant mixture that they ate was it had milk in it, okay? Or whey from the milk. So then they say, v'nishkom mine kale v'nikum. So why don't you just take a little bit of it and try to turn it into cheese and see what happens, and then you'll know. Right? Not the most easy thing. Every time you want to buy milk, take some and put it aside and see if it curls into cheese. Kevan de betahur nami ika nisyube de lo kaime le kalame kamala de milta. Since in tahur milk, there's also sometimes a little bit of it that won't curdle properly, won't turn into milk. There, won't turn into cheese. Therefore, it's not a good test. Okay? V'i b'ayteim, or alternatively, you could say, afilu tema de kabayla legvina, ika de kai bene atve. Even if you say that it can turn into cheese, there's always a little bit that's left liquidy, and therefore, you'll never know, maybe that's because there was tamei milk in it, or maybe not. So it's not a really good system. Okay. We'll stop here for today. We'll start off with the pot tomorrow, and we'll get to the bishul, and anyway, all interesting stuff about, and very relevant, right? If you go to Chutz La'aretz especially, what things you can buy, what things you can't buy.